One of my biggest strengths is activator, meaning that like when I get an idea or when I get the go ahead on a contract, I am like, let's do it. Let's change the world. Oh my gosh, I have all these ideas and we're going to do them right now. We're just going to launch this thing next week. If you want to make more money, you're in the right place. Today, we're talking about how to give yourself a raise. Now, can we first just have a little moment for the fact that we, as entrepreneurs, freelancers, independent content creators, whatever it is that you call yourself, that we have the ability to give ourselves a raise. This is pretty cool. When I worked in corporate, I had to wait once a year, maybe, didn't even happen every single year, to get, you know, maybe a small raise. So this is one of those moments where I think it's important to, you know, be grateful for the path that we've chosen for ourselves. And this is one of the huge perks of being a freelancer or being an entrepreneur. Now, with that said, I don't think enough of us are actually doing it. I don't think we give ourselves raises enough. There's really two ways, okay? There's two ways to make more money and in turn enable yourself to give yourself more money, more owner's pay. So the first thing that you can do is the obvious one probably, and that's help more people, right? If you serve more people, you're able to multiply the amount that you are charging by that number of people. So helping 20 people is better than 10 people if you're charging the same package rate for each of those different companies, of course. But that option is challenging. It's an opportunity cost in terms of time because we are humans. We have 24 hours in a day. We should be sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night. I know a lot of us probably aren't, but we should be, should at least be striving for that. And we should be taking some time off too, to spend with our family or friends, or just to work on ourselves on weekends or nights or whatever. So we don't have endless amounts of time. That's the most valuable resource, really. It's the thing that we cannot buy more of. We can't get any more of it. Now, one kind of hack to buying more time is hiring people, of course. That is one way that you can get your business more hours. It's not going to get you personally more hours, but it'll get your business more hours. But of course, like I said, that's an opportunity cost as well, because you can get more clients, hire more people, and end up breaking even and making the same amount as you were making as a freelancer. A lot of people, you know, it's really easy to get yourself stuck in that position too. So if you are going to go ahead and hire, you want to make sure that the people you're hiring are actually going to be able to bring in more revenue than you're able to do on your own, so that you can cover both of their salaries, both your own salary and their salary as well. So that's an important thing to keep in mind, but it certainly can be done. And if you're looking to build an agency, that's really how that's done. Agencies, unless they're working with giant companies, usually are not going to be charging, you know, an astronomical amount necessarily. Their game is that it's a volume game. They're getting a lot of clients. They're working with a lot of clients, and they also have a lot of people on their team who are making those deals happen, that stuff happen. So that's the first way that you can do it. And of course, we've got a lot of tips on this channel on how to help more people, get more clients, host some webinars, go to some events, go on Upwork and just, you know, rack up those contracts on Upwork. There's so many different ways to get more clients. But I don't necessarily think that that's always the smartest or the most sustainable way to make more money. I think a little bit more of a sustainable way to get more money for yourself is to raise your prices. I hire freelancers all the time, and I would say that at least 75%, if I had to make a roundabout guess, 75% of people are charging too little. And as somebody who hires a lot of freelancers, I've had astronomical rates thrown at me and been like, wow, that's way more than I expected. And I didn't say, you know, screw you, I don't want to ever work with you again, don't ever talk to me. I didn't ghost those people. I just told them, hey, that's more than I was budgeting for. Do you have a smaller package? Or maybe I'll reach out to you in a year. I didn't ghost. So don't be afraid. Obviously, be smart about how much you're charging. Don't just choose to charge $1 million because you want $1 million that day. Do research, make sure that it's market rate. But yes, most people are charging too low. So how do you know what to charge? Well, first you need to look at the market. I think that's important. Pay attention to what market rate is. And when I say that, a lot of people are like, what the heck is she talking about? It means what is the average, basically? What is the going rate for a social media manager or a graphic designer or a video editor or whatever it is that you do? I like to use sites like Glassdoor and Payscale to see what the average is. And you can do this, I believe, globally, but definitely you can do it based on United States and regions in the United States. So I can do, what's the average rate for a social media manager in the US? What's the average rate in Michigan? What's the average rate in New York City? And I can kind of take that data and see who I'm targeting. Am I working with mostly companies on the East Coast, on the West Coast, in America, in Europe? Where am I looking? And kind of tie that to what their expectations are going to be and what the sort of going rate is there. You can also just research, like Google. Google is your friend. Google answers so many of my pertinent business questions. It's unreal. So Google, you know, see what other social media managers are offering, what they are charging. No, you don't necessarily need to copy, and you still probably need to charge more than they're charging, but it'll at least give you an understanding of what people are looking at when they go to a competitor. Are they going to be completely floored by your rate, or are, you know, you're going to be in the same family? And I think that's the important thing to keep in mind with pricing as well, is that you don't need to have this race to the bottom with your competition. I know that I charge more for my agency packages than a lot of my competition. Are you in the same family? I think this is important. If I'm shopping for, I don't know, a new mattress, and we've budgeted $1,000 for that mattress, and I see a mattress that I like that's $1,200, that's still within the same family. I can probably find that $200 somewhere and get that more expensive mattress. But if I see a $2,000 mattress, now that's too far out of my comfort level, right? That's double the amount that I was planning to spend that day. So as long as you can kind of rationalize it and you can see that customer saying, you know what, that's close enough to what I originally intended, I think that's okay. So study what the market is doing. I also love looking at reports and data, again, done through Google. Sprout Social has a report in particular. It's called the Agency Pricing Report. I'll link that in the show notes. It's a pretty good one. It just kind of breaks down what agencies in particular are charging for different social media management, you know, activities and services that they offer. That's a great place to start in terms of pricing. Another thing, and the thing that's really more important, is tracking. Tracking your time, seeing how long things are taking you. I can easily estimate, you know what, a social media management package, that's only going to take me like 10 hours a week if it's a smaller project or whatever. Everything almost always takes more. This is the other thing that people usually underestimate, myself included, is time. Because we're not taking into account how many hours we are spending on emails, you know, communicating with the client, how much time we're spending setting things up in Canva, designing like cover photos and stuff, and like random little things like that, getting access to accounts, changing passwords, having meetings, impromptu calls, all of those things. So track everything that you're doing. It's going to really help you value your time a lot more. When you see those numbers laid out and you do that math and you're like, oh my gosh, I've worked 40 hours for one client, I'm charging them $1,000. You do that math and you're, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but you're probably not making even minimum wage in most cases. And it will force you do one of two things, or a combination: hire more people so you're not spending all your time on that one client, or raise your rates. And I think that's really the answer in most cases, right? In most cases, it's that you can probably take some things off of your plate that maybe are not really your zone of genius. If you are spending a whole lot of time in your email inbox, there are a lot of people that are better at emails than you. I am terrible at emails. I'm sorry if you've ever emailed me prior to me hiring somebody who helps me with my emails, because I'm terrible. I still am terrible about them. I see them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I respond in my head and then I forget about it. My email inbox has like 130,000 emails or something. Like, I don't delete them, I don't categorize them. It's terrible. That's not something I should be doing, or at least spending, you know, hours upon hours doing and sifting through. But then you should also probably charge a higher rate for your packages. It's usually the answer for most people. Now, if you've reached an income cap, if you're like, okay, I'm already charging market rate, I'm already outsourcing the things that I'm comfortable outsourcing, or, you know, I really just cannot swing hiring a new person and taking a financial risk right now, You can also try offering a different service. You can try offering something that maybe is a little bit more of a premium service. For social media managers, maybe this is something like consulting. Consulting is an area that I got into just kind of by happen, like it just kind of happened. People asked me if I just offered consulting hours, and I was like, yeah, I can. And I could charge $100 or $200 an hour as a social media consultant. Now, am I working 40 hours as a consultant? No, so don't worry, you know. I mean, that'd be cool, I guess. I don't think I could do that actually. That would drive me nuts. But I can spend an hour or two with a client and make $200 as opposed to spending an entire month with a client and making, you know, $500, $1,000, $1,500, whatever that is. So you can do that math on that and think about if that's something that maybe you're ready to do and that you are interested in doing. I recommend taking the StrengthsFinder test. I talk about this a lot. I have a video about my results personally, but this really helped me when I was determining, am I a good fit? Like, is consulting and coaching something that I'm going to be good at? So definitely check that out and take that test if you haven't yet. I think that taking that test also is really helpful in terms of deciding what to delegate. For example, one of my biggest strengths is activator, meaning that like when I get an idea or when I get the go ahead on a contract, I am like, let's do it. Let's change the world. Oh my gosh, I have all these ideas and we're going to do them right now. We're just going to launch this thing next week. I remember I was on an interview one time with this person who did courses, and they were like, it took me, I don't know, like 3 months to launch this one course. So how soon do you think we could do it together? And I was like, oh, like half the time, right? Like, we'll just get started on tomorrow. And they didn't believe me, but I was serious. That was the activator in me. And because I know that I'm an activator, I need somebody who can pay attention to the details and say, slow your roll, Latasha. Have we cleared this with this person? Or have we really made sure that we're maximizing the potential of this activity? So I need a details person. I'm a big ideas person, and I'm also fearless in terms of just getting things going and just starting. You might be the opposite. So it's important to know what your strengths are so you know what to outsource for. But I digress. What I was talking about, what brought me to StrengthsFinder is that I also am a maximizer. And a maximizer is somebody who takes something that's already good and makes it better. And I think maximizers make really good consultants. There's a few other ones I think that helped me develop that confidence that I would be a good consultant. So that's something that you might want to think about doing. You might want to think about offering a course or offering an event or a retreat or a summit or something like that. And you might be thinking like, a course, they're not getting me. They're not getting that one-on-one. Why would that be a more premium service? And I always go back to this little proverb, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man how to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. I think this is why consulting and courses and coaching, why it can be charged at a premium. Because you're teaching someone, you're giving someone these skills, you're unlocking that door for them to be able to do it by themselves, which is really invaluable. I am pretty no holds barred. Like there's really nothing off limits in one of my VIP days. They're called CEO days, actually. Nothing's off limits in those. I give people templates. I share my screen. I go, you know, dive in. I get my hands a little bit dirty in their content and actually pull things apart and give them suggestions and rewrite things for them. Like I do all of that stuff because I'm giving them the skills that they need to be able to use so that they can do that for themselves if they want to build another brand or if they want to do this again or if they want to teach somebody how to do it. That's so much more valuable than me going behind the scenes and editing a social post and they have no idea what the heck I just did. They can't replicate it. They can't use it again. They can't pull it apart and use it in different ways. That's so much more valuable. So that's something that you can consider doing is switching up what you're offering. I think there's so many different ways that you can package whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're a social media manager, a photographer, a videographer, whatever it is, there's so many different ways that you can package things together that really feel premium and luxe and that speak to your ideal client, that are exactly what your ideal client needs at that time. That might be a little bit more of a unique situation or a unique solution than just a 5 times a week social media package. So those are the things that I would encourage you to reach within yourself and challenge yourself to do is consider helping more people, which might require hiring more people, raising your prices, and also looking at your services and figuring out if there's a way that you can offer a premium version of what you're doing now. Today's episode is brought to you by the Social Media Management Accelerator. In this intensive 8-week course, you'll learn all of the tools that you need to become a thriving, in-demand social media manager. You'll walk away with a portfolio made up of content that you create for our mock brands, as well as a network of support and a great relationship with me, your instructor, as well as 3 other guest instructors. Seats are limited in this course, and we sold out super quickly last time, so be sure to click the link down in the description box if you're interested in securing your spot. Okay, so for today's question, how do you up your prices with current clients? A fantastic question, one that I hear a lot. And the answer is honestly, you have to be okay with losing them. I think that's really the answer at the end of the day, is if you're going to raise the rate on somebody, you have to know that they might walk away, and you have to be confident that that is a rate that somebody else will pay. That if you're letting go of a current client, you're going to be able to take that time that you spent with that current client and go out and find a new client at that proposed rate. I truly think that's the answer. Now, I think the secondary answer to that, of the actual how to do it, is you do it like a business owner. I hear from people all the time who are just like scared, you know, like, and I get it, it's a scary thing, but you're not asking for permission to raise a rate. You're not just like for time off. You're not asking, can you take a week off? You're telling people, hey, my business is gonna be closed for a week. Hey, our rates are raising next year, or you know, next month, or whenever you decide to do it. I mean, I definitely think that there's just certain etiquette things that you should keep in mind. Like, I don't think it's okay or cool to raise the rates for the next month. You know, I think give people enough time. I would say 60 to 90 days is fair. I think that's enough time for somebody to be able to find somebody else if they just simply cannot afford what you're asking. And I do think that that's a thing. I know a lot of coaches say, if they want to work with you, they'll find a way. But like, listen, I don't want anyone going in debt for me. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Please don't go in debt. If you want one of my courses, do not go in debt. Like, do not take out a new line of credit to buy my course. Just wait until you've made the money from watching my free tips on YouTube and my podcast, and then buy the course. So that's a side note, but I don't believe in that. There are going to be people who just cannot afford to work with you. So give them enough time to find somebody else. But I do agree with that sentiment to some degree, in that a reasonable pricing increase, assuming you're not doubling or tripling or quadrupling your rate, if you're going to charge $50, $100, $200, $300 more, and I really am happy with the work that you did for me, no sweat. I'm not going to sweat it. I'm going to be like, cool, sweet. Sounds good. See you on Monday, you know? So I think it's a combination of things. I think it's developing that confidence in your work, that you know that the client loves you, they're happy with your work, and they're happy to charge what you need. I think it's really a mindset thing there. And then it's also being okay with the fact that I've done my research. I see that I'm charging under market rate. And if I charge market rate and this client chooses to leave me, I'll be able to get another client who's willing to pay me that and is willing to value my time and my resources and my energy. And I think it's also developing the confidence to act like a business owner and to really take the lead on this. You're not asking for permission from anybody. You are doing what you need to do. And this is the thing I always pose to people, is you're not like asking for more money just because you want it. You're asking for more money because it costs a lot of money to run a business. You're paying probably at least 30% or somewhere around there in taxes. You're having to buy your equipment. I have to buy my own computer. None of my clients are doing this for me. You know, I have to pay for my rent in my office and my apartment and all of that. So keep those things in mind. If you need to hear it from somebody, I'll tell it to you. You're probably not asking for anything astronomical. You're just asking for what you need to keep your business running. Last thing on that, because I feel like I'm going on a tangent here, but the other thing I'll mention is that I think it does help to not to like rub it in people's faces necessarily, but just to say, justify why you're charging more. You can let people know, hey, we have brought the assistant onto the team who you've already met. She's really fantastic. She's been making sure that your inquiries are picked up really quickly. Or, you know, we hired a graphic designer onto the team, and I'm sure you've noticed how much more awesome your social posts are looking. Or we've invested a lot in the team's education this year. We've attended so-and-so conferences and gotten so-and-so certifications. And to help accommodate for these things and this higher quality of service that you're now receiving, we're choosing to, or maybe don't say we're choosing, but the prices, the rates on these social media services are increasing for 2022. I think that's all you need to say. Maybe a little more concise than I just made it up on the fly, but that's exactly what I would say. I always also like to use the example of rent. I've been a longtime renter. I've been renting since I was 18. Actually, I've always rented, even when I was a kid, you know, my family did, but on my own as I was 18, and I can't think of a year that my rent did not go up. They just tell me, they just slip a little note under my door and say, hey, rent for next year is increasing. This is your new rate. Bye. So you might want to have a little bit more personalization to it, because I do personally feel that that is like a very bad business move and one of the reasons I don't want to rent anymore. But it's a business. They're running a business, and act like a business owner. So I hope that helps. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, be sure to let me know. You can comment down below if you're watching on YouTube. You can shoot me a DM or tag me in your story on Instagram. And I will see you here next week, same day, same time, for a new one. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Show notes for this episode are available at latashajames.com/podcast and contain all of the links I may have mentioned today, as well as an invitation to join my private Facebook group, the Freelance Friday Podcast Community. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.